When a person is giving a commencement address, the job is to offer insights. The job is to sort of bring words to the situation to help young people go forward and hopefully live a successful life, right? You're summing up a lot of stuff in a short period of time. But in truth, at least the truth for me is that I have no idea how to live life. I mean, I don't have any answers is what I mean. I've been here for almost 61 years now, and I feel like the longer I live, the less I know. So the idea of sort of summing up and giving advice about how do you live your life, especially starting when you're young, you know, I sit actually regularly with people in their 50s, 60s, sometimes 70s, and they're asking the question, what should I do? What should I do? I'm not really sure what to do, right? So this is kind of a lifelong process. Trying to figure out how we live is really a very ongoing kind of thing. But I don't think that it's easy. I don't think it's possible to sort of make it a nice little tight package. There's a lot about life that is deeply mysterious. Have you guys noticed this? I've known people who get into a specific vocation. My sister is a good example. She's been in academia her entire life. She has went through all the school and then became a professor. And in recent years, she's sort of questioning that. You know, she's very close to retirement, but she has all these obligations, committees, and all this stuff she has to do. And she's wondering, like, should I have made a different decision? I'm not really sure. We move through relationships at times in our lives, and sometimes we find ourselves wondering, how did this happen? How did I get here? And then there are all other kinds of things, too, that are very mysterious we don't really fully understand. I mean, can you really sum up, like, what is love? What is it? One of the things I've always loved is hearing what I consider to be successful people describe how they started doing what they're doing. And very often they say, you know, back in the beginning when this started, we really had no idea what we were doing, but we decided to do it anyway. We just did it. We didn't have any idea, but we knew there was a problem. We wanted to try to solve the problem, and we really just tried to figure out how to do that. And in fact, my son and I right now, some of you know, we're actually in the process of building together a tech platform to deliver spiritual care specifically to people in their senior years, and more specifically, especially to people living in senior communities. And neither one of us really knows what we're doing, but we're gonna keep doing it. He is using AI to teach himself how to write code, and I'm just like tossing spaghetti at the wall, waiting to see what's gonna work, what sticks. So we identified a problem in our society, and we're just going to keep trying to figure out how to solve it. And eventually, we'll stumble upon it, and hopefully, we'll be able to help people in the process. We're having a ton of fun trying to figure it out. I think a pivotal moment came for me in my adult life when I decided to just stop pretending that I had any answers, that I knew what was happening, and really start just living from a place of full-on curiosity, just like a kid. Just curious about how does that work? How do they do that? What is happening there? Why is everything green outside right now? All of the mysteries and all of the questions should just go through life all the time like a kid in a state of wonder. And honestly, quite frankly, it's a really, really huge relief to be able to admit that I don't know anything. And it makes life really fun. But what I do have to offer, what we all have to offer, not answers, but personal perspective, I can offer something about what I have seen in the years that I've been here. I have, I would say, been a very, very observant person basically for my whole life. And my theory about it is that it's because when I was born, one leg was shorter than the other. It's called a dislocated hip. And in 1965, the way they solved that problem was to sort of pull the shorter leg down, and then both of your legs are in a cast for a year. So I spent the first year of my life immobilized. And I like to think that what I was doing was just sitting there watching the world go by, just paying attention. I observe and I write. I've done it all through my life, just looking at the world, paying attention, asking questions, and writing about it. For a while, I worked as a photographer. I've been a writer for as long as I knew what writing was. And I would say that my work as a chaplain or a pastor is 90% listening. I would say, actually, it's about 90% just listening to people. And so now I feel like at this age, I can kind of pull some things together And my conclusion is that life can be broken into three main parts. I call it the Venn diagram of life. I happen to love Venn diagrams. This is what it looks like. You know what a Venn diagram is, right? Three overlapping circles. So the first part is relationships. Well, I'll tell you all three just so you can visualize it. Relationships, the material world in which we live, and service. So, relationships. One of my vantage points in this life has been that I have spent a lot of time with people in the process of dying. And if you don't know this by now, you will. That death and dying are the greatest teacher you will ever have when it comes to trying to figure out how to live. The greatest teacher you'll ever have. There's a universal, I can say, thing that happens at the end of life if you have time to think about it, if your life doesn't end suddenly. And that is that everyone wants more time to be with the people that they love. Universal, always. More time to be with the people they love. No one cares anymore about the stock market or social media or what their hair looks like or the next trip that they're taking or how much money is in the bank. The only thing people ever want when their life is winding down is more time with the people that they love. And this is really, really good information because it tells us that if we want to prioritize right now what is important is your people. It might be your family. It might be your friends. It's usually a combination of those things. It doesn't matter. Spend more time with them and show up as often as you possibly can. Show up. That's the key. Next weekend, my daughter, back to daughter, is running her first half marathon in Whitefish, Montana. Does anyone know where Whitefish, Montana is? Ever? Yeah, it's up there. Yeah, it's up there. It's near Glacier National Park. And the thing is, she is not really a runner, but she made this decision and she committed herself to it. She's been training, she's been eating well, she's doing all the things. And so my partner Sferi and I decided we've got to go. We've got to figure out, let's just do this. We have to go and show up and support her and cheer her on. So if you can, show up as often as possible for the people in your life. Surprise them sometimes. That's one of the most wonderful things of all. Surprising somebody by just showing up, it's the best. Our relationships are where we practice very important things. They are ground zero in our lives. They give us the opportunity to practice things like forgiveness, humility, and the big one, unconditional love. That's what our relationships give to us. So that's relationships. The material world. We live in this material world. This is our reality. It is very good to have dreams and ideas, visions about what you want your life to look like. There is absolutely nothing wrong with, and you should want nice things, and you should want to go on nice trips. You should want to do all of the things, eat good food, that this beautiful material world offers to us. I used to think that the life of the soul and the material world were incompatible, and I don't believe that anymore at all. I absolutely don't believe that. This is our reality. It is also like our relationships, it's our training ground. In our material world, we learn how to appreciate things. We learn, hopefully, moderation. We learn about beauty, all of the important things that this world around us teaches us. If people are our best teachers, the world is our classroom. This is where it all happens. It is the space where who we are is revealed to us and to those around us. There are an infinite number of ways to move through this world into your future, is what I would tell young people if I could. An infinite number of ways. There is no one size fits all about your motion into your future. Some people choose the academic route. Some people like the structure of being employed by someone else. Some people are mavericks who invent things. Some people are creatives. Most people are a combination of all of those wonderful things. Doug Tompkins, who's the guy who started, anybody know? the North Face, dropped out of high school, never went back for any further schooling. And in the late 60s, Doug and his friends, including Yvonne Chouinard, were, by their own description, they called themselves a bunch of rock-climbing dirtbags. That's who they were out in California. They're having a ton of fun doing the thing that they love to do more than anything else. Then, as the story goes, they needed some equipment that didn't exist. They needed the clothing to do what they were doing. Didn't exist. And so they started making stuff. That's how Patagonia started, Yvonne Chouinard. That's how it started. They needed the things to do what they wanted to do. And North Face, too. So that was their unique road into the future. And it worked really well for them. It's a great reminder. Those kinds of things are possible. It worked really well for them. And I know I can say, I speak for myself when I say that their choices have had a positive impact in my life. You want to be very careful, however, in terms of the material world. Because if your life becomes too skewed towards certain parts of the material world, like money and the accumulation of stuff, then if that's your focus, that's your priority, then one day you will wake up, I guarantee it, and you will feel like you've been eating McDonald's for a long time. Meaning, you know you have something, but you feel kind of empty. It's not really satisfying. You do not want to skew your life too far in any one particular direction. I've heard it said, and I absolutely believe it to be true, the truly wealthy person is someone who knows what it means to have enough. The definition of enough. Each one of us needs to decide for ourselves what that looks like, but knowing when you have enough is a beautiful, beautiful thing. The third part of the Venn diagram of life is service. Very simple. I cannot stress this enough. You have got to do something while you're here to improve the conditions of the world. You have to. It's why we're here. Using whatever gifts and talents you have to make the world a better place. Everyone has a skill, a talent. Everyone has time. Some people have money. Whatever you have, give some of it away on a regular basis. I do something very simple. I carry an extra 20 in my wallet, and I'm always on the lookout for who might need it. And if you've ever given, like, you know, the person serving you coffee an extra big tip and you see the reaction, you know how great that feels, like a moment of surprise. I think it's sort of a selfish thing, actually. I enjoy it so much. Just in a moment, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for what you're doing. You don't have to save an endangered species. You don't have to clean up the entire ocean. If you want to, thank you, and I super duper appreciate it. But you can keep it very, very simple. Go to the local animal shelter and walk the lonely dogs. Pick up trash when you see it. Don't be afraid, just pick it up. It'll be okay. There are so many lonely people in this world. There are so many lonely people. Figure out how to shine your light in their direction. What you choose to do with your one life in a very small way makes a huge difference in this world. When you choose to do those kinds of things, that's kindness, that's generosity, it's love. And we all know that the world needs a lot more love. So those are what I consider to be the three main parts of life: service, relationships, and the material world. And if you place them in a Venn diagram, of course, you get the overlap in the center. And I see that as the place where life is really humming, the middle of the whole thing. In that space, you are engaged with the people you care about. You are engaged with your community. You are doing, hopefully, work that you enjoy, work that feels productive and meaningful. And you are living in a way that feels satisfying. To me, that's the goal, a satisfying life. Happiness is not the goal. I can't stand the word happiness. Satisfying life. You rest your head at night, you put your head on the pillow, and you've had a good day. Your life is satisfying. In that space, that magical center of the Venn diagram, you are in the flow of life. And from a spiritual perspective, it is the sweet spot. And notice that I didn't mention anything separate about spirituality or religion. And that's because I think we very mistakenly think of it as something out there separate, something we have to go find, a quest, a journey. It's not. Spiritual wellness is what happens when all of those parts of your life are flowing together in a meaningful and cohesive way. That's when you are experiencing spiritual wellness. You are doing what you're meant to do. Your soul is expressing itself through your loving relationships, through your work, and through the creative ways that you live here in the material world. I see that is where I am most clearly aligned and connected, in that middle ground with Creator, capital C, or with that sublime energy of Source, whatever you want to call it, it doesn't matter. When you're in that space, in that sweet spot, it's when you are truly alive. You are a radiant being. And the way that you are living and the things that you're feeling and what you're sharing with the world matters. People feel it. And it is literally what you came here to be, a radiant being.